No? Which means I might have been on before the whole service. That's not good. So there might be a lot of deleting we're going to have to do. Yeah, I'm on now for sure. You know what a tire fire is? Tire fire, you can't really put them out once you get a tire started. My message has nothing to do with tires other than the Spirit makes me emotional, and I don't like that at all. I'm emotional, but I'm not like cry emotional. I say this probably about every time I preach, but it's just like overwhelming. Like I won't see it coming. It's going to happen. It's probably going to happen today. So I come with a warning sign. So I knew what I was going to preach on for sure after the end of last Sunday. And it was shortly after that that confirmation started falling in everywhere. People didn't even know things they were saying all week. Scott, that was the first poster ever put up, I believe, right? One of the first ones, the one right there. So what does that say in brown marker at the top left?
Shifting leads to identity plus motivation.
So shifting identity leads to a different motivation. What you identify as or with is what you're motivated to do. Your motivation comes from your identity. I think Nick preached on fathers, but Scott preached on that Jacob had a change of identity. His name was no longer called Jacob. We see God change names throughout the Bible. We see that Abraham was Abram, and his name got changed to Abraham. We see that Benjamin was named by his mother. I can't remember what it was if originally, Beni or something like that, but it meant sorrow. Who's the dad? Benjamin, which would be the 12 tribes of Jacob. Jacob's the one that changed his name. Jacob come in and said after Rachel had passed away that they changed his name to Benjamin. So there's name changes, identity changes. So how we identify affects our motivation. How many of you here want to be a disciple of Jesus? How many of you here want to be a servant of Jesus? How many of you know that when I preach, I ask leading questions that trick you and trap you? So, I mean, come on. So, let's talk about that today. I'm going to try to be tame. I know that my passion gets going sometimes and I get wound up and I can't promise that won't happen, but I'm going to try to temper that a little bit. Go to Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to think about being a disciple, and I want you to think about being a servant. They're not the same. A disciple is a student of a teacher. There's lots of people who had disciples. John had disciples. If you look through the Bible, you'll find that Pharisees had disciples. That people who are teachers have disciples, students. Okay? There are servants who have masters, right? So to be a disciple, that would make Jesus our teacher. To be a servant, that would make Jesus our master, okay? In Galatians 3, verse 16, it was talking about the law, the curse of the law, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. But now we get down to the nuts and bolts of what they're talking about. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Okay? So if you were reading the Old Testament and you read that, you would say his promise was unto the seed, and you'd think all of his seeds, but it wasn't. This clarifies here. It wasn't talking to all his seeds. It's talking to about the seed. There was a seed inside of Abraham who was Jesus that was going to be passed down from generation to generation to generation, and that seed one day was going to become flesh in Jesus, and the promises are made to Jesus. All the promises made to Abraham were made to that seed, which is Jesus. Okay? So, and this I say that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that which should make the promise of none effect. I'll explain that in just a second. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So God gave this promise to the seed by grace, when grace really didn't exist. Okay? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So he got a gift, he got a promise, promised to him through God, pre-law, pre-Ten Commandments, 400 years before law. So the promise came 400 years from the law, and this is saying, make no mistake, if God made a promise to Abraham, 400 years later the law came, the law cannot disqualify that promise. The law cannot take that promise away. The Ten Commandments and all, and the works mentality, and being obedient and sacrifice and having to live right and holy cannot change the fact that God promised Abraham and his seed a promise. Okay? Contrast, law, grace. Jesus. Wherefore then, service the law? Why should we serve the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed could come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law which would have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. If it was possible that the law could give life, and that there would be a commandment that would come forth that would make you righteous, and you could actually do it, he would have done it. He knew 400 years before the law, he knew before that. But he made a promise, he made the answer to not being able to follow the law 400 years before, and had a promise already set in motion for us. Okay? But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to us to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What was the law? Schoolmaster. Teacher, rabbi. The law was here to babysit us until what? That seed came, that promised seed. So we were students under the law. So people that are under the law are like students. And they studied the law. And then they tried to keep the law, but they couldn't keep the law, right? Because the students would fail the test when it was test day. They would go and get the information and learn about the law, but when it actually came to take a test, fail, 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 fail. Okay, so the law was there to babysit us, to watch over us, and we were used it as that this is what God's principles and laws are to try to keep us safe until the fullness of time, until Jesus could come. But therefore, faith came, and we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Okay. What are we? We are children of God. Okay. Disciples and servants aren't necessarily children. The law was watching over us until Jesus came and he made us in him and made us heirs of the promise that was made to Abraham, to the seed. We became the seed. That promise was to us. Skip on down. Now I say, going into chapter 4, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors, governors until the appointed time of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Jesus Christ. To be a servant or to be a disciple is to be an adolescent, immature son. Okay? I am not saying that there is no service, and I'm not saying there's no discipleship. But if you see Jesus as teacher, and if you see Jesus as master, your identity is broken. We are sons. Gabe, come up here. I'll try to get through this. What's your name?
Gabe.
Gabe what?
Gabe Pranger.
Okay. This is Gabe Pranger. He's my son. If he never serves me, is he my son? If he never follows me, is he my son? Okay. Sit down. His service cannot buy what is already his. Hunter, come up here. This is a big risk for me because we didn't pre-plan this. How did our relationship change after you and Leah got married? You don't know? See, there's a big risk. Before you and Leah were married, you didn't come take my Ranger and drive all over my land without asking. You didn't get my tractor and go to our farm, start tearing barns down and going wherever you want. And I drive by and your truck's in the field and you're out there in my tree stand. Why didn't you do that before? Why didn't you do that when you were dating Leah? But something changed, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Our relationships changed a lot.
Yep.
How often do we talk?
A lot.
How much do we talk? How much did we talk before you and Leah were married?
Not that much.
Not very much. What changed? He became a son. There's only a handful of people in here that can go to my house right now, walk in my house, go get in my Ranger, open the garage door, and then go drive all over my stuff. There's two people outside of this group right here, but it would still tick me off. That'd be Nick and Chris. They would do it, but I'd be ticked. I'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? If one of these does it, it's just what we do. Okay? Do you know what changed? Do you know what changed with him? I seen him as son. He was no longer that kid trying to get with my daughter. He became my son, and I see him as son. How do you get treated differently than my other sons?
None.
Probably they would say you get treated better. I only know how to explain this because I'm a father. He's a son. He can do whatever he wants with my stuff. And the only thing that changed is how I seen him. He couldn't do it. He could not make himself my son. I had to see him as son. And when he married Leah, he became my son. because that's how I see him. And he can have whatever I want. And it's pleasure for me when I drive by my farm and his truck's there, and I didn't know he was going to be there. I take joy in when my kids are enjoying the things that I have. Did you come to my barn and tear your truck apart and leave the serpentine belt on my table in the barn?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, you did.
Did I not throw that?
No, it's not in the trash. So, this is your upper man.
Okay.
So.
Honor stay out of my barn.
Yeah. You cannot be a servant and a disciple and guarantee you're going to be a son. But you can be a disciple and a servant when you're a son. You can't start from any place other than being a son. You have to know that you are a son, not a servant, not a disciple. There's nothing wrong with service and discipleship. These guys are learning from me. I'm teaching them. I am teacher. I am rabbi sometimes. We're cutting wood. I am master. You're coming with me. We're splitting. Don't care if you want to. Don't care if you like it. I am master. I am teacher. But I am father. Because you're my sons. Go to John 6:66. Imagine that. When Jesus was playing teacher and crowds were following him, he was harsh. He said hard things. He said things that would have made me walk away. He said things like, you need to hate your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. You need to hate them. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. He said things like, I didn't come here to make everybody happy. I came here to divide everybody. He said things like, see this bread? This is my body. We're going to eat it. I'm telling you right there, that would have lost me. He wouldn't have got through. He wouldn't have found the period in that sentence. And I'd have been like, okay. Whoa. This is my blood. We're going to drink my blood today, guys. I'm going to go get some cups. It's going to represent Gabe Pranger's blood. And we're going to have some bread. And it's going to represent my flesh. I'll probably be the only one eating that if I did that today. Think about that. He said some hard things. Because they seen him as teacher. They didn't see him as Savior. They didn't see him as Lord. He said this. The day of communion, where he was telling him, he said, when you eat this flesh, you eat this bread, it's my flesh. It's a hard thing to say. What does John 6:66 say? For there were many of his disciples who went back and walked no more with him. Many. Many students who had been following him and thinking he was awesome and thinking he was cool and thinking he could speak with authority and watched him raise people from the dead and watched him open blind eyes and watched, and they ate the bread that he fed 5,000 people of. And when he said that, they left and they walked with him no more because they only were students. They were only disciples. Joint heirs. Jesus made us children, and he made it so that we were joint heirs. What does joint heirs mean? What is an heir apparent?
Prince.
Huh?
Prince.
An heir apparent is somebody who's going to be king, right? They're heir to something in the future. An heir apparent. This doesn't say heir apparent. It says heir. H-E-I-R. You're an heir. When Jesus put you in him, you became a son. And when you became a son, you became heir. Hunter is heir. Hunter comes over and gets in my garage and gets my stuff because he's heir. He's not going to be heir. He is heir because I see him as son. He already is in possession, even though he doesn't have final ownership of the farm that's a mile south of our farm. He, by God, is acting like it's his. Are you not? Okay, I'm happy about it, just for the record. There's a list of stuff that comes with that. His name's not on the deed, but he's owning it. He's actually possessing it. He's actually taking part of it. And he's not asking. Because that is a check mark. That's checked off. That's already been approved. That already has been approved. And there was never a conversation, hey, I want you to start doing this. It was through relationship, he just somehow knew he could go do whatever he wanted over there. And he's doing it. And there's times we're doing it together. There's times that we're over there together, and there's times we're doing stuff with my boys. And so we're all doing it. The reason I'm highlighting him so much is because they're natural sons. But he is somebody who married Jesus and became God's son. When today there was a time where he wasn't my son, these three have always been my sons. He's not always been my son, but today he's my son because I decided that I'm going to see him as son. And when God makes you a son through Jesus, you're an heir. An heir to the promises made to Abraham. And we don't have enough time for me to go through the scripture and tell you what you're heir to. Because we wouldn't get done before it got dark. You're an heir to a lot. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a whole new creation made for this place of error that you own. And you can go explore it, and you can go do whatever you want, and you can take the dad's Ranger over there, and you can cut a tree down if you want, and you can take the tractor and tear stuff out that the dad put in there sometimes. I make a nice food pot. Hunter's like, I think we should tear this out. I don't like it.
When did I do that?
Well, the new pot, you said, we need to open all this up. I put all that switchgrass in there. You want to tear it all out. You just weren't there when I put all the switchgrass in there. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You don't like the flow, so we're going to change it. All right. Turn to John 15. I did this on my iPad. I did not know in my Bible that it looks like this. Okay? I'm not a big highlighter. When I highlight something, sometime it meant something to me. All right. There is discipleship and there is service in sonship. Your identity is not disciple. Your identity is not servant. Your identity is son. And if you don't start from sonship, watch what happens. I am the true vine in my Father, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, so that it will bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Go be a servant. Go be a disciple. Go do it. Get up and go out there and go be a disciple of Jesus and go be a servant of Jesus. You cannot. You cannot do anything without me. Being a disciple and being a servant are works. They are actions. They are not identities. You cannot be a disciple, you cannot be a servant unless you abide in Jesus, who will do the servant's part through you and will be the disciple part of you. He is saying to us, you're my son. I want to produce fruit, but you cannot do it without me. And if you try to do it without me, you're just a branch. There is no service and there is no discipleship without sonship. But when there's sonship, there's discipleship and there's service. True sonship. Because when you abide with Jesus, out of that flow of sonship comes service and discipleship. You hunger to learn. You hunger to be with him. You hunger to be in his presence. Do you know what the most valuable thing in heaven is? You know what the most valued thing in heaven is? The presence of God. Even now, the people who are in heaven desire to be in the presence of God. And I believe someday we get to experience that. And you'll fall down in the presence of God and worship him, and 5 years may go by before you realize what's going on. Because that's the most valued thing. Abide. What does it mean to abide? Abide. It means menua, which is the Hebrew word. Prime verb, to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry, thine own. Abide, in reference to a place, to sojourn, tarry, not to depart, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually in reference in time, to continue to be, not to perish, to last. Endure, of persons to survive, live, in reference to state of condition, it remains as one, not to become another or different, to wait for, await one. Jesus said, I abide in the Father. I want you to abide in me. What do we need to pursue? I'm telling you, you pursue Jesus and his presence and abide, and you don't got to worry about the rest of the stuff. You don't need to be worried about service, and you don't need to worry about discipleship. That shouldn't be your focus. Your focus should be sonship. When you focus on being a son, it is the outflow of everything else that comes. Jesus said, I will give you living water, and out of your belly will flow rivers of water. What has to happen first? We got to go get the drink from the son that starts the flow in our belly that overflows. It is about sonship. We can't do a thing on these walls until we see that we are son and that we belong. I'm going to blow your mind. So awesome. Grace is by faith. Grace and a promise is by faith. Abraham believed God and was counted him as righteousness. Faith, father of faith. Being a student or a servant is not something we are doing. works. It is something that comes out of our faith in that we believe in our true identity as sons of the living God. Those things come out of our faith in Jesus Christ that we are sons of the living God because he made us sons, because that word says that we are sons. And in he was when he made us sons, he put his spirit in us, and that spirit is crying, Abba, Father. Jesus is telling us that inside of you, I've given you my spirit, and I cry, Abba, Father, which means daddy. It's very personal. It's daddy. The Old Testament, there was Yahweh. Alpha, Rapha, or whatever. El Shaddai. All these names of God. But Jesus came to reveal a new name. Father. Bring it.
In the Old Testament, Father is only mentioned like 13 times. In the New Testament, it's hundreds and hundreds of times.
Jesus came to reveal Father. God is Father. My opinion, the best depiction of this is in Matthew 26. I love this. No. Stop. Put the brakes on. Luke 15. Yeah. Verse 11. What do you think we're going to read? Prodigal son. Yeah, that's good stuff. Verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, where he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into a field to feed his swine. And when he was fain and had filled his belly with the that's King James for he wished he was eating the pig's food. Okay? The swine did eat, so no man gave him any. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to the father, but when he was yet far off, the father saw him with had compassion, ran out and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the calf, fatted calf, and kill it, lest we eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead and is now alive again. He was lost, now he's found. And they began to be merry. The prodigal son goes out, blows it, fails miserably, wastes the inheritance. He's laying in a pig pen, looking, watching the pigs eat their food, thinking, man, that pig's eating better than I am. And he thinks, man, my father has many servants, and they're fed. I will go back. I'll say, hey, just hire me. Just make me a servant, Lord. Just want to be a servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Right? You are worthy. Because he made you worthy. The father said, bring the coat. The one that says Pranger on it. So people know who he is. Bring a ring. check writing ability. That was credit cards. That's how they bought things. Signet ring. It's mine. Well, how much for that? I'll take it. Shoes. Bring some shoes, put them on his feet. It's my son. He's not a servant. What was holding that son back? Identity. He thought he was a servant. He said, I'm not worthy. He thinks it's righteous. We think it's righteous to come to God and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. It's not righteous. It's an abomination. Because blood has been shed in your name. A big price was paid for you to be a son. A huge price. You don't have a right to tell God you're not worthy. He will ignore you. He will call for the coat. He will call for the ring. And he will call for the shoes. Under the law, Moses had to take his shoes off. Under grace, put shoes on him. He has a right to stand here with me. With shoes on his feet, because he's my son. Moses was not a son. Moses was a servant. Take your shoes off, boy. You're standing on holy ground. There's been no mediator. There's been nobody come and make you my son. Take your shoes off. But by God, when you become son, you get your shoes on, you get your coat on, you get your ring on, because we got work to do. I told you I was going to be calm. I don't have it in me. What about the scripture that says, go make disciples of all men? Jesus said that. If we're supposed to be sons, we're supposed to be disciples. Where does it start? Where does it start? It starts with discipleship when you're young. Don't you remember in Galatians? You're under the schoolmaster. Go make disciples of all men is go make babies. Go make baby Christians. Go into all the world and make babies, disciples. And those disciples will find out through discipleship that they're sons. We are supposed to lead people to sonship. That's what the discipleship is teaching them that you are not just a mere servant, a mere disciple. You are a son of God because of what Jesus did. Peter on the beach. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Starts with lambs. We make lambs. We make sheep. We make sons. That's what we're called to do. And that will come out of Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Jesus understood, Peter, if you don't love me and if you don't abide with me, you can't make lambs and you can't make sheep. You can't do any of the things I'm asking you to do. Because it's out of the love and about abiding with me and being with me and being my hands and feet that the overflow comes out of you to go accomplish the things that I'm calling you to do, what you have nothing in it other than to abide and love me. Just abide and love me and spend time with me and make me your number one focus and don't worry about the rest because I'm going to do it through you anyway. Because he wouldn't ask you to do something that he's not going to do. He said it himself. You're just a branch, bub. You're not that great. You're just a branch. All the goodness is just flowing to you from somewhere else. Me. If you love me, you'll follow me. If you love me, you'll be my disciple. If you love me, you'll be my servants. But it starts with, do you love Jesus? Do you want him more than anything else? How righteous, how self-righteous is it to come and go, I just want to be your servant. I just want to be a disciple. When you've been made a son and there was a hell of a price was paid for it. And I mean a hell of. He went to hell to make you a son. You have no right talking to me to stand before God and go, I'm not worthy of the promises. I'm not worthy of what this book says is mine. I'm not worthy of it. By God, he's not worthy of it, but he's still taking it. Got it? I'm going to give you a couple nuggets. When they were, Jesus sitting around and he says, one of you suckers is going to deny me tonight. Jesus is so righteous, he didn't say suckers. He was so good. And you know what they all said? All of them said, Lord, Lord, is it me? Is it me? All except one. Judas said, Rabbi, is it me? All the other ones called him Lord. All the other ones called him owner. But Judas said, Rabbi, teacher. He's seen Jesus as teacher. He didn't see him as Savior or Lord. This is it. I'll finish with this. Go ahead and stand up. I don't know what this means, but in chapter 11 of Acts, in Antioch, disciples were called for the first time Christians. Okay? Christians is Christ followers. It says, when you look up the word called, it says divine oracle, which means they were divinely called Christians, which means their name changed. After Acts, disciple is not in the Bible anymore. I didn't know that. I'm not putting down discipleship. I think we need it. I'm not putting down service. I think we need it. It cannot trump sonship. Disciples, servants are not identities. Sons are identities. Out of outflow of our identity encompasses everything else. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you that